Parshas Kisavo, we'll begin with Milsa Bibichusa. Humor. It's always good to start with a joke. A sharp line from the Satmirov. Satmirov. Satmirov was the previous one, right? The previous Satmirov. Rabbi Yoel. He was once visiting it's a true story, a community, and they were davening mincha. Okay, this is very good because we learned not so long ago the laws of tachanun, and you're supposed to say tachanun. That's the halacha. You are required to say tachanun. So he was davening in this minyan, and the Baal Tefillah finished the Shmoneh Esrei, and as he finished the Shmoneh Esrei, the gabbai banged on the table. They gave a clap, hakoh, on the table. Remember, this is a joke. Don't take me too seriously. He gave hakoh on the table, and. And then that was a sign to the Shliach Tzibur, no Tachnun today. Skip Tachnun today. So right away he skipped. He went right away into Yiskadal v'Yiskadash. So the Satmar Rav, after that, he asked the person, Maihai, what's going on here? Why did he give a clap? And why did the Shliach Tzibur skip Tachnun? So he said, because today is not a day where you don't say Tachnun. The only reason why we don't say Tachnun is because here we have a minigun on a yard site of a special Rebbe or a Tzaddik, we don't say Tachnun on the Yom Hilula of a special Chassid, a special Tzaddik that's in the calendar. So that's why the Gabbai went and he gave a clap on the table to indicate to the Shliach Tzibur, who's not aware of all the Yahrzeits, that today we're not going to say Tachnun. So the Satmar Rav says, now I understand what it says in the Toichacha. And the Taicha, it says, this is Parashas Kisava, it says, Gam kol choli, v'chol mako, asher lo chosuf, b'sefer ha-Torah ha-Zois. Now this is a very terrible curse. This curse, Chazal, it's not in Rashi, refers to Misas Sadikim. After all the terrible, horrible curses of the Taicha, there will also be this terrible thing of mako asher lo chosuf, that Sadikim will die before their time. So he made out of it very sharp what he says, Kol Naka, there are days when you don't say Tachnun. Why don't you say Tachnun? Because it says in the Sefer. Which Sefer? In the Shulchan Aruch. It says that in Chanukah you don't say Tachnun, you don't say Tachnun in Purim, you don't say Tachnun Lag B'Oimer, you don't say Tachnun in Pesach Sheni, you don't say Tachnun in Chodesh Nisan. It says in the Torah, it says Kosuv Sefer, that there are days when you're not supposed to say Tachnun. But here is a Maka. He's giving a makkah. Asher lo chosuv ba'sefer. It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch. But Chazal say, Misa Sadikim. The curse of Asher lo chosuv ba'sefer. Torah HaZos is Misa Sadikim. So here they're making up, they're taking the Misa Sadikim, and they're saying that's the reason why you don't have to say Tachnun. It's lo chosuv ba'sefer, and they're giving a hakah in order to exempt you from saying Tachnun. Very sharp, brilliant line only the Satmar Rebbe can come up with. Okay, let's now go to something a little more serious. We have here the Toichacha. The Toichacha in Chumash Devarim is different than the Toichacha in Chumash Shemos. In Chumash Vayikra, in Parashas Bichukosai, we have the Toichacha. And if I'm not mistaken, the Toichacha is which Aliyah? Is the fourth Aliyah. Is that correct? I want to make sure I'm saying that right. I want to make it, it's the fourth Aliyah. What? Give me one second. I should have looked this up before. I apologize.
He has to be the last Aliyah in Bahar.
Yeah, that's right.
So it would have to be
Chamishi. It's Chamishi, the Teichacha?
Yeah, it's
Chamishi,
right.
It's Chamishi, right. So this is Shlishi. It's Chamishi, correct. This is Chamishi. Right. It's Chamishi, okay. So this is Chamishi, and we lay it here. It's the Aliyah. It is the sixth Aliyah. So the most basic question that's discussed by the Mefarshim is why is it that in the Toichacha of Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Bichukosai it ends with a good note? You don't want to end on a bad note. And the good note is, v'zacharti lachem b'ris rishonim asher hotzeitzi eschem, after we go through all these very difficult things, we have bracha. V'af gam zos b'yosam b'eretz ayvehem lo ma'astiv lo yigaltim l'chalosam lo afer b'yisitam ki ani Hashem elkeichem v'zachati lohem b'ris rishonim asher etzetzi osam m'eretz mitzrayim l'nei ha'goyim l'yos lohem l'elokim ani Hashem. Okay, we have over here bracha. Ani Hashem, I'm going to remember you. I'm going to be for you. L'yos lohem l'elokim ani Hashem. Whereas in Parshas Kisavo, we do not end off on a good note. We end off with Teichecha, V'heshivecha Hashem Mitzrayim B'aniyos Baderech Hashem Amarti L'cha Lois Sesifot L'roysa V'hismakartem Sham L'oivecha L'avodim V'lishvechos V'ein Ko. You're going to be sold there as slaves. We don't have a bracha at the end of the Teichecha. Why? Why is the Teichecha of Moshe Rabbeinu does not conclude on a good note, whereas the Teichecha of Moshe Rabbeinu has Nechama V'zachati L'hem Bris Rishonim? So the Farshim give different answers to prove that really there is Nechama. The most popular answer is the ultimate Nechama is V'ein Koineh. That is a tremendous bracha. Even though we will be sold as slaves, this makartem shem l'oivech, l'avodim l'shvachos, Hashem guarantees no one's going to want to buy you. You're still going to maintain your uniqueness. You'll be sold. You'll be reduced to a very low level. But v'ein koineh, even though you'll be very cheap, there'll be no buyers. I'm going to make sure of it. And that way, you're going to maintain your uniqueness, your unique mark as part of Klal Yisrael, and that itself will be for you the source of your survival. So indeed, really, the Ein Koineh is a tremendous bracha in disguise. Okay, that's a very popular answer. I saw another very beautiful answer. There's a very fundamental difference between the Teichach and Parashas Birukos and Teichach and Parashas Kisavo in that. In the Teichach Parashas Birukos, Hashem's name does not appear even once. Whereas in the Teichach and Parashas Kisavo, Hashem's name appears how many times? 26 times. Yud Kei Vav Kei appears in Kisavo in the Teichach 26 times. Now before we give the Nechama, let me just tell you a beautiful gematria I saw in the Lekach, and the gematria in Lekach HaLivov. What is 26 multiplied by 26? 776. Is that correct? Do I do my math right? 776. 26 multiplied by 26 is 776. How many words are there in the Teichacha? Go home later on and count. There are exactly 776. There are 776 words in the Teichacha. Yud Kei Vav Kei is Bigamatria 26. How many times does Hashem's name appear in the Teichacha? 26. So it's fair to make a nice calculation. 26. What?
676.
I'm sorry. 676. I'm sorry.
It's too high.
It doesn't matter.
Wait.
It's still going to work.
Wait.
So there's
26 times 26, how much?
676.
Yeah. 676. And how many words are there in the Teichacha for?
676, not 776.
Right, 6. I'm sorry, not 776. 6. I'm sorry. 770, same exact thing. There are 676 words in the Teichacha. Why did I say that? Okay, I'm just. I'm confused. I don't think that's right. It's just that I'm not good with numbers. That's why. Pshutei kimashmo. Now my math teacher is here. This is my math teacher right here. He taught me math in sixth grade. So we have over here. After that, you don't want to take credit. You don't want to take credit. Okay, 676 words. What is the gematria of the word ro'os? Ro'os, evil.
Gematria?
Yeah. What is the numerical equivalent ro'os? 676. Ro'os. Reish, ro'os. It's 676. Rabos ro'os tzadik umikulam yatzilenu Hashem. It's from Alekech Valivov. I'm not sure if it's his owner or he's quoting the source. Pasuk. Rabos ro'os tzadik. A tzadik has many evils. There are many troubles. A tzaddik has many troubles. But umikulam, in all of his troubles, umikulam yatzilenu, what's the pasuk? Umikulam yatzilenu Hashem will save him. That is alluded to the Teichacha of Parshas Kisavo. Because in Kisavo, there are 676 words of Teichacha, of evil, of harm, of ro'os. But Hashem's name appears in the Teichacha 26 times. And the gematria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is 26. Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. So 26 times 26 is 676. Hashem will save you from all of the raw, from all of the evil. So that is the ultimate nechama. Even though we do not end off with a pasuk of comfort in Parshas Kisavo, whereas in Parshas Bichokosai we do, we have even a greater nechama in Parshas Kisavo, in that Hashem's name appears 26 times to save us from all of the harsh words of the Teichacha. Now let me explain to that a little bit deeper with a mashal, a very popular mashal. Someone told me this mashal is not a Jewish source, but it's still a very great mashal. I told this to you once before, and you probably all know it without me. A person, after he died, he came to Shemayim HaChameh V'Esrim, and in Shemayim they reviewed with him his entire life. And when they reviewed his life, they did it in a very symbolic way by showing him walking along the beach in the sand. And he saw, when he reviewed his life, there were always two sets of footprints in the sand. There was his footprints, and the other footprints were the footprints of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he noticed that at the most difficult points in life, and of his life, there were only one set of footprints. So he said, Ribbono shel Olam, how could it be at these difficult, tragic moments in my life, you disappeared? I only see one set of footprints in the sand. Well, where were you during those harsh times in my life? So Hashem said, it was during those times I was carrying you. Those weren't your footprints. They were my footprints. I was carrying you through those difficult times in your life. That is the ultimate nechama of the Teichacha in Parashas Kisavo. There's no big pasuk at the end, a grand pasuk. You know the nechama is. Hashem is there 26 times all along the way. Hashem is carrying us through the difficulty that we find in Parshas Kisavo. So that is a very big nechama to be aware of. If you know that Hashem is there, you can get through the difficult times, Parshas Bichokosai, where Hashem hides himself. The Anochi Haster Aster Ponai, that is a much greater, much more difficult form of Teichacha. Okay, now another little remez, this little occurred to me, I don't know if this has any significance, is the Aliyos. It's very interesting that Parshas Bichokosai, it's normally they're read together, Bahar Bichokosai most of the time are read together, and that means that the Aliyah is the fifth Aliyah. Whereas the Parshas Kisav of the Teichacha is in the sixth Aliyah. What do the seven aliyahs correspond to? So this is a very popular idea. They correspond to the Ushpizin. The first aliyah, when you get in a Kohen, you're getting the aliyah of Avraham Avinu. If they call you up for Levi, right? There's no Levi in Shul. There's no Levi. They call up and there's no Kohen or Levi. And you happen to have Hashgacha Pratis. You get the second aliyah. If you're a Levi, you're getting you're getting Yitzchak. The third aliyah is Yaakov. The fourth aliyah is Moshe. The fifth aliyah is Aaron. The sixth aliyah is Yosef. And the seventh aliyah is David. What is the Teichacha and Parshas Bichokosai? It's usually read together. It's the fifth aliyah. Whose aliyah is it? It's Aaron. What is Aaron? Aaron is Lo Yeh Chelek. They're devoted to the service of Hashem. How does the Teichacha conclude in Parshas Bichokosai? Asher tseis yaschem eretz misham lihiyos lochem lelokim. I'm the God I took you out. I'm the one who took you out to be your God. To be, who's the one that leads Klal Yisrael in lihiyos lochem lelokim? The Kohanim. The Kohanim are the ones, they're the teachers. They're the teacher of Klal Yisrael. They're the ones that are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They do the Avoda. They are the ones that connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very appropriate then that the Aliyah of the Teichacha of Parash Bichokosai is the fifth Aliyah. Let me just read the pasuk there again to emphasize the point. The end of Teichacha says, V'zocharti lechem bris rishon imasher tzeis yosam eretz Mitzrayim le'inei hagoyim lihiyos lohem le'elokim ani Hashem, to be your God, ani Hashem. It is the Kohanim that are in charge of matters of spirituality. That's why it's the fifth aliyah. That is the Nechama. But in Parshas Kisavo, it's the sixth aliyah. Whose aliyah is it? Yosef. What happened to Yosef? Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim as a slave. But what happened to Yosef? Was he bought? Was he really bought? The Ein Koineh. He became the king. He became the Mishnah Lemelech. The reason why the Teuchacha in Parashas Kisavi ends off with this, does not end off with Ani Hashem, it's not a matter of Nechama. It relates to the person who captures the essence of the Aliyah. The sixth Aliyah is a very Hasidic type of Torah. That's why the Rebbe always gets Shishi. One of the reasons why they give the Rebbe Shishi is because they want to give the Rebbe the Bali of Yosef. The Yosef who are Mashbir. They like Yosef more than they like Yaakov. I don't know why. Hasidim like Yosef. Hasidim, they like Korach. They're very into Korach. You ever hear this? Really? They're very into Korach, Hasidim. There's something about Korach that's very appealing to them. Yosef, who Hamashbir. Who, there are all these Hasidish stories that they say, if I was alive in the time of Korach, I would have been swept away by Korach. I would have followed after Korach. I wouldn't have enjoyed much. But the point is, the end, I just want to bring out this little idea. There are two Teichachas. The Teichachah of Chukosai is the fifth Aliyah. The Teichachah of Parashas Kisavah is the sixth Aliyah, which means the Teichachah of Parashas Kisavah relates to Aaron. It's a matter of Kedusha. Matter of Kedusha, therefore the end of the Teichachah is, don't worry, I'm going to restore your Kedusha, liyos lochem lukmani Hashem. Whereas the Teichachah of Parashas Kisavah relates to Yosef, and therefore it ends, v'smakartem lochem l'avodim l'shvachos, they were sold. That's what they did. They sold their brother Yosef as a slave. And what happened to him? The Ein Koineh. He was never really purchased as a slave because he broke out of slavery to become the Mishneh LeMelech. And that is the ultimate bracha. See, that is the Nechama. That's like, this is going back to the idea that I told you before, the Ein Koineh. Don't worry, you'll be like Yosef. They'll try to go and subjugate you, just like Yosef's brothers tried to bring on Yosef the ultimate Teichacha. They wanted to kill him. They threw him into a pit full of snakes, and they sold him as a slave to Egypt. And look what happened to Yosef. The Ein Koineh. He became the Mishneh LeMelech. V'higadati la'avi es kol kivoidi. Go tell my father my glory. Look what I became of me. I became the leader of Egypt. Yeah.
This must be a good Hasidic Shavar, because the Ushbizim, yeah. Ashkenazim.
Which Yosef order? Where does Yosef come? So the different versions. There are different versions of where you put Yosef. The most popular version, you put Yosef at the end. Okay, there are different versions. Correct, different versions. Is it Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David, or is it Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Aaron, David? Okay, so then you have to readjust this. So then it'll be Moshe, it'll be Aaron. Then it'll be Moshe. You have to hold it apart. That's for another time. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is a very beautiful idea I saw in the Sefer Alei Higoyim. The Mechaber Rabbi Klein, his name is Rabbi Klein, he quotes, he tells this var from his son. His son told him this var. And it's a very beautiful var. Before the Teichacha, we have the Brachas. And the Brach is Baruch Atah B'ri, Baruch Atah B'Asad, Baruch Atah B'Veyecha. Let me just go back to the beginning of the Brachas in Parashas Kisavo. And Hashem will bless you. I have to find the exact words because I don't know this by heart. Okay, we have here the brachos.
Page 567.
Okay, here you go. There's some grammatical difficulty with this word. It should say v'yasigucha, b'loshen osid. It will. All of these brachos will come upon you. and they will overtake you. Isn't that the way we translate the word?
Well, we translate it
because the word is a difficult word. It should say viya. Really, if you were writing this pasuk, you would write viyasigucha.
It's correct. If you would translate it.
Okay, so that's already that's an apology. Okay, we have to.
You to be overtaken.
Hisigucha literally is in the past tense. The hisigucha means they have already overtaken you. It should really say viyasigucha. You have to. Not always. Vav is not always of mapech. It all depends on the context.
It will cause.
I don't know the laws of you have to consult with an expert. But if you were writing this pasuk, it would appear we can finesse the words with the vowels to make it work out. But it would appear at face value, it should be written in the lashon osit. All of these brachos, kol habrachos oele v'yasiguch, and they will overtake you, giving you a bracha. When you give a person a bracha, you wish them for the future. I wish you that in the future, all of these good things shall happen to you. You shall become successful and have nachas and have good health and so on and so forth. But that's not what it says. It says v'yasigucha. V'yasigucha is written in the past tense. Maybe you're going to play around with the word to make it fit, but it's the past tense. So the answer is, that's really what bracha is. This is a very powerful concept. The person, bracha, many times a person already has bracha. You go to a Rebbe, I need a bracha. You already have bracha. Open up your eyes and recognize that the brachas already have overtaken you. Unfortunately, in life, we always are looking for things that we imagine we don't have, and fail to appreciate the brachos that we do have. Most of the brachos, and that's what the Pasuk is telling you, that you know what the biggest bracha is? The biggest bracha is Zehu Asher Hasamech Bechelko. The biggest bracha is to recognize and to appreciate the blessings that have in the past already overtaken you, which you already have, So this is a very powerful idea of. Let's go to another idea. We have here in the beginning of the parasha 11 curses. Vayitzav Moshe Sa'am Ayemuhu Leimor Eila Yamdu Lavarchasam Al Hagarizim Bevarchem Sayardin. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take the Levim, put the Levim in the middle, and take all of the Shvatim and put them on two mountains. Hagarizim are evil. The Shvatim are divided in divided in a very unusual way, and then there are going to be 11 curses issued. Arur v'onu halavim, the Levim are going to raise their voice. V'amru el kol ish yishol kol eram. Arur ho'ish ha'shayase fesil ma'secha tevas Hashem ha'sei yidei chorosh v'sam v'asoser v'onu chol ha'am v'amru amen. And we go through 11 curses. So the question is, what in the world, why there are tayag mitzvos? Why are these 11 things, what's going on with this machine over here? Why are these 11 things singled out more than anything else in the tayag mitzvos? What's special about these 11? So the answer of Druk, of Dorash Mordechai, he explains a powerful idea. The common denominator of all of these things are secrets. Every one of these items listed are things that to the world, to the public, to your chaverim, they would never know that you did this avera. It's one thing, a person is mechal Shabbos, you're mechal Shabbos b'farhes, everyone knows you're mechal Shabbos. A person doesn't want to eat kosher, goes to a non-kosher restaurant. The very nature of the 11 things, we'll give some examples, listed here in the pasuk, are things which are private matters. You commit the avera in secret, but to the public, you raise your hand, I'm a tzaddik. For example, the first one is very clear, Yaseh fesel umaseicha, tevas Hashem masidei chorosh, v'som basoser, hiding. That sets the tone for the next 10. Let's go to the next one. Arur makle, ovi v'imo v'omar, person he hits, he disgraces his father and mother. Why father and mother? Because they're in the home. To out in the world, or you go to shul, I'm very nice, I'm chavid my father. And at home, you treat your parents in a horrible way. You have no... Mother and father are people that are found in your private home. In public, no one knows what goes on the way you have derech eretz for your parents. So, next example. Or masig gvul re'eyu. You masig, what did I do? I went into business. Hasagas gvul. you take the boundary, right? You take the move the boundary. No one knows. Here's the mark in the middle of that. The whole essence of Hasagas Gevul is an avera that you keep, that you can get away with. A massive gevul, and what I do wrong? It's not something which is obvious to the public. Adarabah, I've made a public statement. This is where the gevul is, and but you know it's davar hamasal liba shalom. You know that you're lying. Yeah.
At home and outside, traveling crazy. What is the result?
No, because generally it's done in the home. That's why a focus is on father and mother. Father and mother are found, it's true, they're found out in public, but maklav, these are things which are more focused in the home. Okay, let's, for example, Aramat and Mishpat, if you go through, I can go through all the examples, when it gives examples, for example, of the Arayos. When it gives examples...
What you're trying to do
it
privately, that's the thing. You're not
going to
do it publicly.
You'll be quiet.
Middle of the night, you can move
to. Right. Okay. These are, when it gives examples of the Arayos, okay, for example, the Arayos, there are 36 types of forbidden relationships. So why are we only giving examples of Sheikhev im Achoisoi, Sheikhev im Chosantoi? Why are we giving these examples, Sheikhev im Eishes Aviv? Why are we giving Eishes Aviv, Achoisoi, Chosantoi? There are 36 type of forbidden relationships. There's uncle, there's aunts, and there is sister-in-laws, and these are relatives that are found in your own home. A person's a stepchild, so his father's wife, sister, his Chosantoi, son-in-law. These are people that are commonly found in your home. The whole nature of every single one of these averos are sins which a person can get away with privately and no one in the world will know. This is what the Musar, the Post Torah, is giving us right before the Yomim Noraim. The Musar is, don't be a faker. That is the most, it's the worst type of avera person. One, the person in Chal Shabbos, at least you're not a faker. You're not a faker. You are what you are. But to be live a life, a double life, a make-believe life, to do averas in private and then in public, oh, I'm such a good guy, that's the worst type of avera, and that's why these 11 sins are singled out with extra special public curses. You have this on Tisha B'Av. The most important king on Tisha B'Av is Vayikoinen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. What happened in Yoshiyahu? Yoshiyahu, he did not want to let Melech Mitzrayim pass through the land because the generation were tzaddikim. And what did Yirmiyah tell? What did Yirmiyah tell Yoshiyahu? They're not tzaddikim. Privately, they're doing averos. Behind closed doors, they're worshipping idols. They take the idol, they cut it down the middle, they put one half on one door, the other half on the other door. The inspectors would come in to see if there's any Avodah Zarah in their home. There's no Avodah Zarah. And then when the doors close, the two sides, the two parts of the idol come together, and they worship the idol. They're doing averos in secret. And this was the source of his mistake, and the source of the Chorban, which led into the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. It's averos that are done behind closed doors. And this is a very powerful section of the Torah, Parashat Kisavo, right before Rosh Hashanah. 11 curses by the Levim in a very public way. The Musar Haskel is a person has to work on himself not to be a faker, to live a true life. The life you portray in public is the life you have to live in private. And if you don't do that, you're in a lot of trouble. And that's the 11 curses here. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here in the beginning of the parsha, going backwards, Vidui Maiser. We have after the parsha of Bikurim. First we go through Bikurim, and then we go to Pasuk Yud Beis, Ki Sechale La'aser Es Kol Maaser Tevoscha. When you finish separating all of your maestros, Bashana Hashlishishna Samaser, then you come in the fourth year and you come to the Beis HaMikdash and you make a declaration. Can you come via Marto Lefnei Hashem Elokecha? You say before Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shleilam, it's now the fourth year. Guess what? I've done everything the last 3 years perfectly. I gave my Sirish, I gave Truma, I gave my Sirishon, I gave my Sasheni, I gave my Saoni. I'm a tzaddik. V'yamar de lefnei Hashem lokecha bi'arti hakodesh min habayis v'gam nisativ la'levi v'lager la'yosam v'lo almana k'chol mitzvasecha asher tzivisani lo'yavarti mi'mitzvasecha v'lo shachachti. I'm a tzaddik. I've done what you've told me to do, and therefore I now demand hashkifa. I skipped one pasuk, but there are many. He goes more things. Hashkifa min kachcha min Hashemam uvarich hasamcha shol ve'isadam Hashem v'sat lanu kashen shvav v'seinu pan. Hashem, I've done my part. Now you do your part. What is going on here? What, this thing, these few psukim here, starting a pasuk good days, is what was called in Chazal vidui meiser, a confession. A confession that you have given all of your maestros. Now, the average person will right away jump. The word vidui is not the right word. The way we understand vidui on the Yom Narom is confession for sin. Avi chatasi, avisi, pashati. That's called vidui. Why then do Chazal take this parsha and call it confession? It should be called an acknowledgement, a statement, a haidah. Well, you're not thanking Hashem. You're admitting, you are acknowledging the declaration. When you come to the airport, do you have anything to declare? Right? Are you coming here to the new country, to Israel, come to the United States? Are you bringing any goods? Is there anything you want to declare? The declaration. I've done what I'm supposed to do. Why is this called a confession? This has bothered the greatest minds in Chazal. Yeah.
26 years ago, I haven't listened to his tape in the car. He raises the same question.
What is the answer?
I hope you're going to get the same answer.
Sorry, what is the answer? Could have done more?
He calls from Rav Soloveitchik.
Yeah, what does he say?
And there's two parts.
Very quick. What does he say?
The second part is to still lift yourself up. The first part is called Echonam, the Vidui.
Why is it a Vidui?
Because there is two parts to what we call...
Well, what's the confession? What's the sin?
No, but he says the second part is the part that the Torah is emphasizing, building of yourself up. All the things that you did.
But why is that called confession? Where is the sin? Point at the sin, yeah.
According to the tape, the way he says it, according to himself, there's two parts to a Vidui. One part is actually...
Okay.
But there's a second part.
Of building yourself up. He's coming to redefine the meaning of vidui. The fact that Chazal called this vidui is an indication that we don't really know what the proper translation for vidui. We assume vidui means confession. No, that's wrong. We see from this that vidui is not confession. It means to build yourself up. Beautiful idea. Okay, excellent. Let's take a different approach. A very popular answer given is the confession is you could have done more. Whenever you make a statement and say that I've done A, B, and C, I've given the Levi, I've given my Sa'ani, but you know, in retrospect, I should have given more tzedakah. I should have given the Levi a little bit more of a gift. Given the coin, there's no amount to how much you give Truma. You can give Truma whatever you want. 140th, 150th, 160th. In retrospect, what did I do with the extra surplus, the extra money? I wasted it on Narishkeit. I should have taken that money and given that produce to the Kohen, the Levi, the Ger. I could have done more. So it's not a direct confession. I've given, we'll take inventory, we'll have an audit. How much money I gave to Tzedakah, or exactly what I've given and my obligation. I could have done more. That's a very popular answer why we're calling this vidui. I heard another answer, not exactly here, but different versions of this answer. And to begin, we have to focus on something that's extremely shocking in this pasuk. Person makes declaration and says, "Ribono shel olam, v'amarta." Okay, the Torah tells you got to do this. Lifnei Hashem lokecha, ribono shel olam. Bi'arti hakodesh min habayis v'gam I've nisativ la'levi v'lager la'yosam v'lo'alman. And then he goes on to say, ribono shel olam, I've done kichol mitzvasecha asher tzivisani. I've done everything you told me to do. Lo'yavarti mi'mitzvasecha v'lo'y shokachli. What a chutzpah to say such a thing to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's enough to say, if you have to say, if you're married of Neshma, Biyarti, if the Torah were just right, I'll say, Biyarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis, V'gam Nisativ L'Alevi V'Lager L'Yosam V'Lo Almona. Period. We'd be very happy. I've given. I've really given to the Kohen, to the Levi, to the Yisrael. I've done what I'm supposed to do. You have to go and say also, go and rub it in and say, "Kechol mitzvos chasher tzevisani lo yavarti mi mitzvot zelcha v'lo shachachti." How dare a person talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that? I have done everything you want me to do, and now you do yours. It's a chutzpah. Can you imagine a child going to a parent and talking like that to a parent? Parent says, "I want you to do A, B, and C, and D." Child comes back and says, "I have done A, B, C, and D. I have done everything you told me to do. Lo avarti mi mitzvaytzecha v'lo shachachti." And then we go on and say more. Well, what's going on here? It's a very powerful question. So the answer is, that's why it's called a vidui. Because because a person, it's a very great sin to say this. It is a very great sin to say this. So why does the Torah want you to say this? Because the Torah knows that every person deep down in their heart thinks like this. Torah is din. Torah says, ayin tachas ayin. Person knocks out an eye, you know what the punishment is? An eye for an eye. That's really the way it should be. Ya tacha, regel tachas regel. Along come chazal. Oh, that's not what the Torah really wants. The Torah really wants mama. So why did the Torah write it like that? Because the Torah wants to make a point. The Torah is written with din, with harshness, to bring out a point that I'm holding you to higher standards. Practically speaking, we're not going to go like that. We're going to do mammon, because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not make the world with midas hadin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the world operate with midas harachim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants the world to operate with midas hadin. So Hashem really wants there should be something called, exactly what that means, you have to clarify, ayin tachasayin. The Torah, when you come and you give to a mitzvah, every person knows this to be true. Every person, you try your hardest, you daven 2 times a day, you do tshuva, you do ma'asim tovim, but this, every person has within him a shtickle gaiva, a shtickle, a little bit of rebelliousness. There's always a merida deep down in the person.
It's an example of pride.
Pride. Every person, even the biggest tzaddik, you do give tzedakah. Yeah, I'm a tzaddik, I don't want any acknowledgement, I'm anonymous, I don't want anyone to know about it. But it's only natural. That's why we're in this world. It's only natural for a person to feel a shtickle gaiva. But in the shalom, I'm a good guy. I did the mitzvos. I did what I wanted you to do. Hashem wants you to face the reality. Say it! If this is what you're thinking, say it! I want you to say it! I command you to say it! I command you to say it in order to bring out to the limelight your defect. Every person has this degree of defect, of this gaivan, this chutzpah in him, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bring it out and work on it and make yourself better. That's why it's called vidui. It's not your typical confession. The typical confession on Yom Kippur is, "Ribono shel Olam, chatasi avisi poshati ashamli bagam gozaldi banadofi." I've sinned, I've done all these different things. This is a much more profound vidui. This is a vidui where you're coming to terms to acknowledge, "Ribono shel Olam, I'm a big bal gaiva, and I have tainus on you, and I demand of you because I'm a good person." It's an ugly thing to say, but it's true. That's how you really feel. Don't make believe. Don't be a faker. Don't be a faker and make believe you're a tzaddik. You're not a tzaddik. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh v'lo yechetah. Acknowledge that within you there is this chutzpah and this gaiva and this rebellious nature where you have expectations and demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and say it, and now be embarrassed what you've said, and work on yourself to be a better person. That's why it's called a vidui. It's a powerful idea, this concept. Someone said, I read also in the Sefer Alei Higayon, there's a custom we have here about Kohen. We have to ask if this is true, that there's a custom, he says, when you say Hashkifa Mimun Katshecha, to raise your voice. Is that true?
Uh-huh.
He asked Zarei Klein in the Sefer Alei Higayon, he says he asked many Talmidei Chachamim, he noticed everyone does this. They raise their voice, Hashkifa, they raise their voice. Where does it come from?
Source.
No one knows. But they acknowledge, yeah, they talk, they do it without thinking it's done. So he suggests, you know why it's done? Now this is a very interesting idea, let's just go by the Teichah. Someone actually told us in the yesterday, the Teichah, if you lay in a very big place, you're supposed to lay the Teichah a little bit lower. you know, if you lean a little bit lower, sometimes, you know, as loud as you can lean is not loud enough. Not every Baal Kori has a naturally loud voice, and he can lean the Teicha a little bit lower than laning the rest of the parasha. So what do most people do? The way they show the laying the Teicha a little bit lower is, before they begin the Teicha, they scream. And when they finish the Teichacha, they're laying the Teichacha lower. They're just going to scream the Psukim before, the Psukim after, and that way it looks like they're laying the Teichacha a little bit lower. So he said, that's really what you're doing, Hashkif and Mimon Kodesh. It's not that you're raising your voice. The meaning is, when you say these words, it's an unbelievable idea. You're supposed to lay those words quietly, because these words are the ultimate chutzpah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're bragging, I'm such a great guy, everybody, look what I did everything you told me to do. I've listened to Kol Hashem Elokei Asisi. I have done Kol Asher Tzivisani. What a chutzpah to talk like that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're supposed to say that quietly. It's like the Teichacha. You don't brag about it. So now when you come to Hashkifa, it's not that you're raising your voice. You are returning to the normal volume of what you should have been doing all along. That's where it comes from, this idea. But it brings out the point. This is not something that's proper to say. So why are you saying it? Because Hashem wants you to confront. He wants you to confront the chutzpah within you. Don't be a faker and think you're a tzaddik. You're not a tzaddik. There's no tzaddik. In tzaddik b'ez shayachta, confront it. Let's come and deal with it head on. And that's why that's why it's called a vidui. It is a confession. You're confessing that you do have in you this chutzpah. Okay, let's go to another idea. What?
Hanitzah
shon v'aniglos lanu v'nu. You raise your voice. You raise your voice. Why do you raise your voice there?
What's your source?
Okay, let's go to another idea. Chasam Sofer. You told me that story. Okay. Let's go to another quick idea. In the Teichacha is a frightening pasuk where it says the reason why all of these horrible things are going to come upon Klal Yisrael is because Tachas Ashalavad Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha Uvituv Levav Meirov Kol. You know why you suffer so much? Tachas Asher Loy Ovadito Es Hashem B'Simcha. What? The reason why these horrors appear in the parishes because not enough simcha. What? You went to a wedding and you didn't dance. You didn't dance with enough.
You left before the first dance.
That's why. You didn't sit by the Shabbos table with a tremendous simcha. It's not so easy to be happy. It's not reasonable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is having complaints against us because we don't have enough simcha in life. It's one thing not to be depressed and not to complain, not to be bitter. But to be tachas ashalaya vartas Hashem gecha besimcha v'tu leva v'yuav kol, what does it mean exactly? So I think the answer is very simple. From all the Ishei, I once told you this idea, I think, once upon a time. From all of the Ishei HaTanach, I heard this from Rabbi Reisman. From all of the Ishei HaTanach, who is the happiest person? Who is the happiest person? All go through the pick out, save Ishei HaTanach, who's the happiest person? So who you expect is not the happiest person? You'd probably say Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak, we know, is the midah of Yira, of fear. Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchak is Yira, Yaakov is Emes. We know that Yaakov swore b'pachad oviv Yitzchak. But only by Yitzchak does it say Vayechrad Yitzchak charada gedola ad ma'od. You have to be a person who has a nature of Yira, of fear, if you can come to a state when something happens to say Vayechrad Yitzchak Charado Gedola Ad. Yitzchak was terrified. When Esav walked in, he realized he gave the brachos to the wrong person. He was terrified. Only a person whose nature is to be afraid can reach a level of being terrified when something bad happens. And the person is an easygoing guy and something terrible happens, he's just upset. He's not terrified. Right? It's a natural thing that anytime you're in a situation, it just exaggerates your natural state. If Yitzchak is a person who is always afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is a person of Yira. As we know that Yitzchak is the leader of Yira, he went on the Akedah, he was a person. So then when he realized something is not right, so about him you can say, Vayecha Yitzchak Harod HaGadol Ad Ma'od. So you would never expect Yitzchak to be a happy person. But yet, Yitzchak was the happiest person. And how do we know that? Because his name is Yitzchak. Tzichok Asli, and the names of people in Chazal don't just have meaning, capture the essence of the person. Tzichok Asli Elokim Kol Hashonaya Yitzchak Li. The reason why his name was given was because it was a tremendous simcha. Tzichok. Tzichok is not just happiness. It means laughter. It means the ultimate. But Sarah named the child. He carried over to her child. Tzichok Asli King. What? Okay. But we do find this idea. We have the Bris Mila. The Bris Mila says that in the future Avraham Yogel Yitzchak Avraham Yogel. He said Yitzchak Yiranein. So the first Yiranein is a very high level of Jew, much higher level of Yogel. Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov of Yenuchel will rest. Yitzchak has Yiranein. How could Yitzchak be the one that's very happy Yiranein? How could his name be Yitzchak when we know his nature is Yira? The answer is that goes Toli Zebezeh. What do we mean? There is no greater happiness in life than being a Yorei Shamayim. When a person is in a situation where no one knows, he has a situation where it's just between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he has to make a decision, and only out of pure Yiras Hashem he decides to do what's right. That fills up a person with incredible joy. The ultimate joy in life is being a Yorei Shamayim. Doing Averos just brings depression and sadness. Being omeid in difficult nisyonos and prevailing, that is the ultimate simcha. Therefore, it is precisely because Yitzchak is the ultimate Yorei. Yitzchak is the one who is a Yorei Shemayim. Yitzchak is the one who has, the pasuk says, Vayecha Yitzchak Charada Gedola Ad Me'od. Zel Umazeh, he was the one that's able, he's the one who's able to achieve Yitzchak Yiranein, the ultimate simcha. Simcha, true, pure simcha comes from Yiras Shamayim. Now with that in mind, the pasuk is very simple. Pasuk is saying, do you know why all of these horrible things have happened in the Teichacha? Tachas Asher Lo Yavadita Es Hashem B'Simcha. Because you're not Yorei Shamayim. You don't have Yira. If you have Kirak Ein Yiras Elokim B'Mokoyim Hazeh. If you had Yiras Shamayim, you would be happy. It's not a cause, it's a symptom. Yiras Simcha Asher Lo Yavashem B'Simcha. You don't have to do anything to have Simcha. All you have to do is be a Yorei Shamayim and make the right decisions. Then the Mela, you will have the symptom of being B'Simcha Uve Tov Lev. And don't tell me, oh, the Nisyonos were too great. What can I do? I'm in a very difficult situation. The Yetzirah is dancing right in front of me. There's nothing I can possibly do. I can't avoid the Yetzirah. I have no choice. I have been set up for failure to be Nichshol in the Avera. No. Nerov Kol. I've given you opportunities where it was easy as pie to turn away and not be Nichshol and to make the right decision and to be a Yorei Shamayim, but you chose to experiment. You chose to explore the Yetzirah, the dark side, and you were Nichshol and you're not Yorei Shamayim. And the Melech, you're not Yorei Shamayim, so you don't exhibit the symptom of Simcha. There's no Simcha. That's why there's a Teichah. It's just a code. Kirak Ein Yiras Elohim B'Makoyim Hazeh. Reish is Chochma, Yiras Hashem. That is the Iker for the Yerushalayim. Okay, let me just conclude one last part. One last, we have the Parashah Bikurim. The Parashah Bikurim, Chazal say, who was Misakim Bikurim? It's a very difficult marriage to understand because all the mitzvahs come from the Shbaruch Hu, but Chazal say it comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu Sura, I'm sorry. What am I saying? I'm saying Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal say Moshe Rabbeinu was sore when he gave Klal Yisrael the mitzvah of Bikurim, that they would not always have an opportunity to bring Bikurim. Why? Because he saw in Ruach HaKodesh there would be a Churban Beis HaMikdash, there would be Golus, Klal Yisrael will be exiled, and you know what? The time is going to come when the first mitzvah of the parasha of Kisava will come to an end. And Moshe was distraught. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? This is the Medrash, here in Devarim. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do when he saw that the Bikurim would come to an end with the Churban Beis HaMikdash? He got up and was misaking that Klal Yisrael should be mispalel to Hashem 3 times a day. That's what it says in the Medrash. And that way, when the Bikurim will come to an end, so at least you'll have tefillah. What does that mean? So simply we'll say, because what is the Bikurim? Bikurim represents the concept that everything belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Reishis, the first fruits, belong to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Koichi, a person should not say Koichi v'yotzim yadi. What is tefillah? Tefillah is the acknowledgement that everything comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You should not say Koichi v'yotzim yadi. There's a connection between tefillah and Bikurim. But the difficulty with this idea is, we all know very well that the reason why we daven corresponds either to the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham was misakin Shachris, Yitzchak was misakin Mincha, Yaakov was misakin Marv. Well, the Gemara in Brachos says another reason is to correspond to the Tamid Shal Shachar, the Tamid Shal Ben Arayim, or the burning of the moon that took place at night for Marv. So the Gemara explicitly tells the reason why we daven 3 times a day is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, or the Korbanos. All of a sudden, the Medrash comes along and throws a curveball and tells us, you know why we even misfollow 3 times a day? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting on, right before he died, Hashem gave him the mitzvah Bikurim, and Moshe Rabbeinu saw there's going to be a churban, there's going to be no Bikurim, so Moshe felt bad, what's going to be? Klal Yisrael is not going to be able to go and ask Hashem for these brachas. So Moshe, you know what, I have a good idea for all of you people, you know what, why don't you daven 3 times a day? You daven 3 times a day, you'll be okay, it'll be just like you bring Bikurim. What's going on? So the answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu, his takana was not to daven shachris, mincha, and ma'at. That came from the avos, karbonos. He was mispalel, he was misaking, and you should be mispalel to succeed in tefillah. In other words, he is the originator of this idea to say, Hashem sifosai tiftach ufi yagir tehilosech. Before we daven, what do? We are mispalel that we should be successful in tefillah. Hashem sifosai tiftach. What is Bikurim? Bikurim is what is done before you do all of the other mitzvahs. Before you give truma, before you give ma'aser rishon, before you give ma'aser sheni, before you give leket shechan peah, before you give challah, before you make any brachos, what is the first thing that you do, the first mitzvah? Rashi says, when a fruit begins to bud, you go out to the field, you take a blade of grass, and you tie it around the fruit, this will be for Bikurim. Way before you give leket, shikhan, peya, way before you give truman, maisa, risha, maisa, sheni, maisa, ani, before you give challah, it's something that's done at the earliest stage, state, to show that everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me put myself in that frame of mind, and then I will go forward and do what I'm supposed to do by giving all the different gifts to the people who deserve the gifts. Bikurim, relative to the mitzvos of Haaretz, is the same as Hashem Sifosai Tiftach relative to Tzfilah. Just like before we daven with Mispal, we should succeed in our prayer. Giving Bikurim is a recognition. Look at the Vida. You come, not the Vida, it's the Vida, it's the declaration. You come, you bring the Bikurim, you wave with the coin, and you say, Arami Oyvid Avi. You go through the entire history, you acknowledge this is the land of the Avos, Hashem promised to the Avos, and He gave it to us. It's Hashem's land, Hashem promised to the Avos, gave it to us, and now we will proceed and give the produce of the earth to the coin, the Levin, and the Yisrael. Bikurim sets the stage for all of the mitzvos which follow. Just like Hashem Sifosai Tiftach Ufi Yagir Tehilosecha sets the stage for the tefillah that will follow. So there's no contradiction. Avos who misakin tefillah itself, or Keneged the Korbanos. But Moshe, when he saw there's not going to be Bikurim, he was misakin that we need to set the stage for tefillah with Hashem Sifas Atid. That's why in Pesach, what do we do in Pesach? We read Bikurim. Why do we read the whole parasha of Bikurim? Because in Pesach is the Hashem Sifas Atid Chofi Yageti L'Secha for the entire year. It sets Pesach is the formation of Klal Yisrael. Once there's a Klal Yisrael, okay, so now there can be everything falls into place. It's the Hakdama. It's putting us in the frame of mind and setting the stage for what will come. That's why Bikurim is so central to all of the mitzvahs. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful Shabbos.